get warmed up as it is outside.
You ain't kidding. All right, well, praise the Lord. I can't remember if this is August the 17th or the 18th. 17th is August the 17th, Wednesday night service. Good to be in the house of God, and good to be in the family of God. And we've had a terrible day working on a lawnmower, trying to put a drive belt on an old wore-out lawnmower, and I'm old wore-out too. But make a long story short, we forgot about the lawnmower and put it in the barn. Went and got cleaned up and got ready to come to the house of God tonight.
Amen.
And just good to be saved.
Yes,
good to be in the family of God. Heaven's one day closer.
Christian church.
One day closer. I can't get here quick enough for me. I guess the highlight of my week was last night when a certain politician got blown out of the park.
Yeah.
And Arizona, was it? Yeah. Arizona or Wisconsin?
Yeah, Arizona, yes.
Yeah, I have to admit, that encouraged me quite a bit.
Me too.
We've got some trouble in our leadership that shouldn't be there. And the best thing I know to do is just vote them out. And if not, maybe Lord come get us out. I'll take either one. Amen. But that did encourage me. Some of them shouldn't even be in there. I don't understand them. But we just praise God. We've got a lot of people needing prayer. I got some good reports on some prayer.
Yes.
And we're just going to sing a hymn. Then we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll do our Wednesday night service. We'll be in the book of Job. I think we're starting in Job chapter 7, but this number 19 in the Heavenly Highway hymn book, I was looking down there, it was copyrighted in 1948. You know, I wasn't even born then. I got born in 1954.
Oh, I was.
But this nation used to walk a whole lot closer with God.
Yeah.
This nation had a relationship with the Lord. They wasn't burning flags. They wasn't trying to change the one nation under God in our national anthem to the flag. And you know, our nation's not walking close with God. But we want to try to sing this song tonight. Name of it's called Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
No.
And I never professed to be a singer. So like I said, we just do, like my pastor said, sing by the letter. Everybody can let her go. Here we go. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. I need to drop this way down. Let's start all over. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be just a closer walk, Lord, with Thee through this world of toils and snares. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who will with me be my burden shares? Let me walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk, Lord, with Thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me to that peaceful shore. Let me walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, it's my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk, Lord, with Thee. Well, we made it through it. Hallelujah. Like I said, I've never claimed to be a singer, but it does put a song in my heart, and it puts praise on my lips. But he'd come in the church tonight, walked through the door, and said, "Praise the Lord!" And I'm right there with him, amen. We got so much to praise the Lord, we need to be looking for opportunities to do that. Amen. We'll have a word of prayer here.
Miss Bonnie's online. Pray for her.
Miss Bonnie, she asked me to remember her family, and we'll do that.
Yep.
We've got a list here. Charles Smith, which I think that's Sister Sharon's neighbor, I think. Mm-hmm. Sister Joanne Smith, Bonnie's son Billy. He got a test results back today. We want to remember him concerning that. Jill Davis, Sharon's neighbor. She said they had a death in the family. We want to remember Bonnie's family. Let's see here. Ronnie Lindsay and his wife. Carol was injured by Gates at her workplace there. Sarah and Patrick, Mark and Miranda, been through a bout with that COVID.
Yeah.
Young people of today, Brother Mitchell, Phyllis, Patty, James's wife, Robert, Kay, Tammy, shoulder pain, Brenda, health, Brenda Goth. We'll just go to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for not only hearing and answering prayer, Lord, we just get a blessing when we hear, Lord, that you've helped someone in their struggle. You've helped someone, Lord, to make it through a day. We're so thankful that you're a present help in trouble. You are a refuge and strength. Lord, we look to you, Lord, when we have hurt, when we have pain. Lord, there's no one that cares for us like you do. Lord, you're touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you come to us, Lord. You said in St. John chapter 14, verse 18, you said, "I will not leave you comfortless." You said, "I will come to you." What a Savior. Lord, thank you for being such a good shepherd. Lord, visit your children. Lord, we've named them here. And Lord, a lot of them, Father, we could call them unspoken requests. Got Brother Mark, his wife, Sister Kay. Lord, we just pray for all these, Lord, that are suffering. Lord, due to sickness. Lord, got problems, Lord, struggling. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, I pray. In the hour which we're living, Lord, it's taking its toll. Lord, just hearing the news, Lord, is so disheartening, Lord. Young people, Lord, don't even want to live. Their lives, taking their lives, Lord. Like I said, our nation is not walking close to you. Lord, they're getting more distant from you. And Lord, we pray for this country, Lord, that it have a heart for God again.
Yes,
I pray you'll help the churches, Lord, to sing about the love of Jesus, to sing about, Lord, the precious salvation of God that He gave through His Son. Lord, that we could be redeemed. And Lord, not only be born in the family of God, but Lord, have a blessed future. Have a blessed hope. Bless this service, Lord, tonight. We thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hallelujah for prayer. What a precious privilege. Amen. All right, we finished up last Wednesday night, chapter number 6. That was Job speaking. And I wanted to read this last verse of Job chapter 6. Job is in a terrible ordeal here.
Yeah.
And he said, "Is there iniquity in my tongue?" I thought about that scripture, James. He said, "The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil."
That's right.
And said, "The tongue is a little member, it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter. A little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire hell. And that's James chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. And Job here says, is there iniquity in my tongue? And I thought about that quite a bit as I was looking over this. You know, that tongue can get you in trouble. Sometimes we're better off keep that tongue behind them pearly gates, you know, or teeth, and not to let it lash out. But Job here wonders why he's going through this ordeal. And we'll learn a little bit more about it in chapter 7 here. But he said, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? You know, if you ever tasted something that maybe had something wrong with it. I don't know, one time I turned up a glass of milk and milk was spoiled. Didn't take me long to spit that out. But you know what I mean? You can taste and tell whether something's worth, you know, eating or drinking or whatever, but that milk was spoiled. And I spit it out, got me a glass of water, amen. And the milk, you know, it just kind of like got so long a shelf life, and I should have looked at the date. But we're going to start here in chapter number 7. And this is Job, and he's speaking still ancient Eliphaz. He said, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? And that is true. We live numbered days. You might not want to know this or even admit to this, but the Bible's clear to let us know that we just got so many days down here.
Yeah.
In Psalms chapter 90, it says, for all of our, verse 9, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that's told. Nowadays, when you have a funeral, they'll show pictures of scenes of life from that one that's departed. And they'll show them as a child and, you know, some highlights when they got married and had children and family gathers and stuff like that. We spend our years as a tale that's told. And he went on to say in verse 10, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. Mm-hmm. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And you look down at verse number 12, it says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And Joel here says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth?
Yeah.
They'd like to figure out some way, I guess, to add man's days. You know, I don't know, some of these atheists, when they died, they had their head froze. I guess they thought maybe they could put it on a younger body and beat death. You know, somehow go further in life than the appointed time. But Job here, he's right. There is an appointed time to man on the earth.
They are, but you know, we can lengthen our time.
That's true. With him is length of days. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10,
right,
I'm come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm not on a dead end street. Amen.
Amen.
My road's got a, I guess you say, an exit lane, and I'll get off the world's highway and get on the king's highway.
That's right.
But there is an appointed time to man upon the earth. The world don't like that kind of talk. They want to figure out by science how to defeat death, how to live, you know, numbered days that really they haven't acquired, figure out some way, doctor, whatever it takes, I've got the money. Well, money's not going to be a factor when Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But Job here brings to light here about we just got a short span here.
Yes,
and I'll tell you right now, I know I'm not as old as Brother Ed. I'm 68, but I'm ready to make transition.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, buddy, I've had it up to here with hurt. I've had it up here where I feel like I could use a glass of I don't know, life-giving substance, boy. B12 or something. I've been flatlined all this week, just wore out. And the further you get in life, the more heaven appeals, the more you desire to be there. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be here, enjoyed every day, had a ball. And now, buddy, I'm looking towards that heavenly country. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
He said, are not his days also like the days of a harlot, as a servant earnestly desiring the shadow? You know, servant out there working in the hot sun, he's kind of hoping that he can get to the end of the field there, maybe get in the shade and rest a little bit. As a harlot looking for the reward of his work. You know, the ox is out there, you know, plowing. Whole time they're plowing, they're thinking about that corn. It's going to be given there, you know, at the end of the day.
That's right.
And, you know, we've got a reward to look forward to.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
And the Bible says God had provided some better thing for us. And I'm looking forward to that blessed place called heaven. Verse 3, Job says, so I am made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed unto me. And that is true. There's sometimes things just don't go right. I remember one time I got food poisoning. It was my own fault. But I'll have to admit that was a wearisome night for me. It wasn't pleasant, I'll tell you that right now. Job says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? You know, when you lay down, you're kind of hoping your troubles will go away. And you wake up in the morning hoping it's a little better. But Job says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone.
Yeah.
I'm full of tossing to and fro under the dawn of the day. In other words, he's not getting the rest that he wants, the rest that he needs. He says, when I lie down, I'm telling you, buddy, he said with Job, he said it's to and fro to the dawn of the day. Now listen to this verse 5 so you can understand a little bit about how bad it is with Job. He said, my flesh is clothed with worms and clots of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. Job is in a loathsome condition.
Yeah.
His friends aren't much comfort to him. His wife wasn't no comfort to him. He's been bereaved of all of his health, all of his wealth. And he's speaking pretty blunt right here. He said, I've become loathsome. He says, verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You know, you can do without a lot of things, but hope's not one of them.
That's right.
You take someone's hope away and they're ready to give up. Amen. As long as there's a little thread of hope, hey, it's all right. I'll go a little further. But you take the hope away and people, they don't want to go any further. Verse 7, he says, oh, remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that have seen me shall see me no more. Job's kind of giving up a little right here. He said, thine eyes are upon me and I'm not. As a cloud is consumed and vanished away, a vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. And you know, when you're in condition that Job's in, man, I'm telling you, his hope is pretty dim. He's thinking about just giving up. He said, go down to the grave, shall come up no more.
Yeah.
Lazarus got up, and there's a bunch of others going to get up, but Job ain't thinking about Lazarus. He's not thinking about the resurrection right here. He's consumed in his grief and in his suffering. And he goes on, verse 10, says, he shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. And you know that as Job is dwelling really upon dying here, that very first verse, is there not appointed time to man on the earth? You go look at a tombstone, and it'll have the date of their birth, and it'll have the date of their death, and some of them's long, some of them's short, some of them's medium. But Job says, he'll return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. And I see stickers on the back windows of cars, Brother Ed, and it'll say something like, in memory of someone. And nobody wants to be forgotten. My pastor was telling me about going to see his aunt. And she was on her deathbed. And he was trying to dodge talking about dying.
Yeah.
And she wanted to talk about dying. And he said she finally got him cornered. And he said, as much as I didn't want the conversation, he said she demanded of me that we talk about dying.
Yeah.
And she told him, she said, "Rick, I'm not really afraid of dying or worried about dying." She said, "One thing I don't want to be is I don't want to be forgotten." She said, "I just want you to remember I loved you and all that." And he got pretty surreal with him. He said they both teared up, you know. Her circumstances couldn't get better. And she said, "Rick, I just want you to tell me you won't forget me, that you'll remember me." And he hasn't forgot her. But it says, "Neither shall his place know him anymore." One thing you want to do is remember Brother Ed. He never has ever let up on his wife. He's always talking about his wife, Karen, and always going out there to the grave. And you know,
I go out there and I talk to her.
Yeah, but that's one thing people don't want to be. They don't want to be forgotten.
No.
And I guess it was David that said, "If I forget Jerusalem, let my hand forget its cunning."
Yeah.
And something like that. We need to, you know, I don't ever want to forget what Jesus done for me.
Amen.
He went to his place.
Yeah.
And, you know, we take the Lord's Supper. We do that in remembrance of him. And, you know, with our own loved ones, it'd be good to have. I think about my daughters a lot. Of course, they're both different. One died young, and one died 40, about 44, I think. And I think about them a lot. I think about my mom, my dad a lot. I think about my grandpa, grandma, my uncles, and aunts, and cousins.
Yeah.
I think about them a lot because something will happen in life, and you'll remember them because of that event, you know. And one thing people don't want, they don't want to be forgotten. Verse 11, he said, "Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." I mean, when you get in bad a condition, as Job is here, he said, "I'm not going to shut up." He said, "I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." He said, "Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions." See, the devil's been given permission to come against Job.
Yeah,
and it's taken its toll on him. You can see a little bit of it here. He can't get no comfort from his bed. He can't get no ease from his couch. And when he sleeps, he's got, I guess you call them nightmares and visions. And, you know, we just had one here talking about a vision he had, and he was pretty happy about it. Eliphaz talking about there in Job chapter 4,
yeah,
about a vision he had.
Yeah.
But he says, "So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life." He just wants to give up. He said, "I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity." You know, when you get so bad, you just want to be left alone. I've been there.
Yeah.
Told my wife, "Just leave me alone," and she wouldn't leave me alone. And, you know, I say this with charity best I can. Sometimes it's hard for others to understand,
yeah,
just how bad it is.
That's right.
She didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was. Maybe it wasn't that bad. But anyway, I couldn't get her to leave me alone. I said, "Just leave me alone." And she wouldn't do it. She's back there. Not much of a comforter. Listen, Brother David Epps preached this week, and he said, "You have something wrong with you." He said, "You don't need someone like my wife." Said she's always, you know, instead of encouraging, he said, discouraging. He said, "My father had a stroke when he was 52. She told me, she said, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. And he said, that didn't encourage me at all. But verse 17.
My wife told me, About time God's speaking to you.
Yeah, thank God for the wife. Yeah. I have to admit, even I couldn't complain if I wanted to. The good outweighs the bad and then some. Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody that can put up with me 47 years deserves a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
But verse 17, he says, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him?" Now, Job here, he's appealing to God in this conversation here.
Yeah.
"And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men?" You know, God's a reasonable God. You find that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18.
Right.
And Job here, he's reasoning with God here. He says, "Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why doest thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." Job here, he ain't thinking about going on. He's thinking about, you know, he might not make it through the night. And he's reasoning with God. And the reason I say he's reasoning with God, he says in verse 21, "And why doest thou not pardon my transgression?"
Yeah.
We're going to be preaching along those lines this Sunday. And you know, I would that we could sin not. But we do sin.
Oh.
And not only we do sin, I'm telling you, buddy, some of us have championed the subject matter. But the Bible says that when we do sin, that we're supposed to confess our sin.
Yes.
And He's faithful and just, forgive us our sin. And Job here, he's appealing to the mercy of God. He says, he thinks, you know, all this has happened to him. Verse 20, he said, "I have sinned. What shall I do?" He's thinking, you know, I'm just receiving, you know, payment for my sins. He says, "Why don't you pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity?" And you know, one thing about God, he don't have no problem at all forgiving. He don't have no problem at all.
You know, just talking about, we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I do. I've got a list, just like you got right
yeah.
there, that I do each night. And you know, but before I do that list, I say to God, "I need you to forgive me of
That's
my
right.
sins. Knowingly and unknowingly, I sin."
True.
And I just need you to cleanse me, because I need to talk to you. I need to get to you, Lord. And that's the way I start my prayer out when I'm doing my list, because those folks on that list, they're sick. They need God's help. A lot of them do. And if we're not reaching God, we're just talking is all we're doing.
Amen.
You know, just work.
The psalmist said, "If I have a God of iniquity in my heart, the Lord not hear me."
That's exactly
And right. Jesus, he said, first thing you need to pray is pray to be forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
But in Lamentations chapter 3, this is written by Solomon, and it said it's of the Lord's mercies. Thank God for His mercies.
Yeah.
"If we're not consumed," verse 22, "because His compassions fail not." And here's a tremendous verse, verse 23 of Lamentations chapter 3, talking about His compassions that fail not. Said, "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God is faithful not only to forgive us, but also to have compassion on us and mercy on us. And thank God for that. Job here, like I said, his situation don't make no sense. Even reading about it just troubles me, that someone would go through what he's went through and he's still going. But you know, it ain't easy, I'll tell you that. Now, this is the first time Bildad has spoken. And he speaks right here. "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and said, How long will thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" And he says, "Doeth God pervert judgment, or doeth the Almighty pervert justice? This is kind of personal here. He said, if thy children have sinned against him and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God thee times and make thy supplication to the Almighty. You know, Job, he daily made offerings
right
for his children, because he said it may be that they had sinned. Yeah.
Right.
And hold on here a second.
We all pray for our children, though, don't we?
In Job chapter 1, verse 5, it said, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, mm-hmm. and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned
right.
and cursed God in their hearts.
Yes.
Thus did Job continually. And like I said, this is kind of an insult that Bildad says here. If thy children have sinned against him. You know, they had a praying father, and they had a good example
yes.
of a father
yes.
in Job. And I do believe we need some godly examples today.
Yes.
Seem like everything today is, I don't know, it's out of kilter, bad. And I know men love darkness rather than light, the deeds are evil. But, you know, we need a closer walk with God. It makes a difference in the home. It'll make a difference in your children. It'll make a difference in you. But he goes on and said, if thou wouldest seek unto God be time, in other words, sometime, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure. Again, these are accusations. He's accusing Job of being unpure. He said, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee. He's not helping Job at all. He's accusing Job of being unrighteous, and God's not listening to his prayers. And he said, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Now, Job's lost it all, and this is one of his friends, and he is a friend. But you know, we if we're not careful, we can make matters worse than what they are.
That's right.
My mama always said, if you ain't got something good to say to somebody, then just keep your mouth shut. Bildad been better off kept his mouth shut.
That's right.
And he's speaking about things that really he don't understand, nor does he know. Verse 7, he says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Again, you know, he's belittling Job, not comforting him, no compassion. He says, verse 10, shall they not teach thee and tell thee, in other words, out of their heart? And these comparisons that he brings up right here, can the rush go up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? In other words, he says, Job, you're reaping what you sowed.
I believe all three of them thought that Job actually did sin against God. That's what it sounds like to me.
That is true. God actually asked Job to pray for them when this ordeal was over with. But right now, Job, I'll just jump ahead a little bit. Job said in Job chapter 16, verse 2, he said, miserable comforters are ye all. And that is true. They're not comforting him. They're making his miseries worse. But he says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee in other words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without the mire? Can the flag grow up without the water? He's just saying, Job, you brought this on yourself. You're reaping what you sowed. He said, while it's yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. He said, you should have been, you know, more careful. You shouldn't have been so reckless in your, you know, your decisions, your prayer life, maybe your walk with God. He says, so are the paths of all that forget God. This is a terrible accusation. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. He's accusing Job of being a hypocrite. And he's accusing Job of forgetting God. And now, you know, the payments being paid to Job. Verse 14, he says, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be as a, shall be a spider's web. Yeah. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. All of this that Bildad is saying here, he's just saying, Job, it's finally caught up with you, and now you're paying the price for, you know, the life you've been living. And he said, he is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. And you know, if you're going to try to comfort someone, don't use this analogy of Bildad. Go to him and just say, can I have a word of prayer with you? Go to him and say, I'm going to be praying for you. I mean, sometimes you don't have to say nothing. You can go to a nursing home, and Sarah, she worked in a nursing home one time. When somebody walks through the door, they're just looking to see if they're coming to see them.
Yeah.
They don't care what you brought. They don't care really anything other than the fact that you care enough to come see them.
Yeah.
Sometimes just coming. Like I said, Bonnie wrote me a card. I got it today. And she couldn't have timed it any more perfect, any more better. I so needed that card. And I really didn't have time to open it, but I took time to open it. She flattered me pretty good. Boy, you talking about getting you over the hump. I appreciate Sister Bonnie. She's got a tremendous ministry just mailing cards out. You know, but boy, she hit a home run with this one. Go ahead, brother.
Eddie's talking about that nursing home. Brenda's son was up there.
Gary?
Yeah, Gary was up there in that nursing home. And me and Brother Eddie had to sit out there in the
hall.
In the hallway that one time while they was working on him. And they were some ladies, older ladies in their wheelchairs, wasn't they?
Yeah.
And Brother Eddie started the conversation with them. You should have seen their face and their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just like it was Christmas to them.
Yeah.
Because he was talking to them.
That's what I say. It gets pretty lonely in there,
Yes, Lord.
That's a real ministry, boy.
I just couldn't believe it, that somebody is that lonesome to have a stranger talk to them. And nursing home is no place to be, I tell you.
That's true. It's like the world has forgotten you.
Yeah.
And you're destitute of any comfort or joy. And boy, if somebody comes to see you, I was asked to go see my cousin, my dad's cousin, Leroy Wilson. I was asked by the family to go out there to see him, and I'd done been out there to see him several times, and he really didn't care too much about me coming, because he knew I was going to talk to him about the Lord.
Yeah.
And he would just look over the wall, but I'd still sit there and talk with him and reminisce with him. But this last time they told me to go see him, I actually didn't want to go. It was almost like I had to walk backwards to go there. But when I opened the door, boy, he was glad to see me. And he stretched out his hand, and his hand was just black. And I knew he didn't have long. He knew he didn't have long. And he said, I'd like for you to tell me about Jesus. Tell me how to be saved.
Oh, my.
He got saved that day. And I think the devil tried to beat me out of that because I was very reluctant to go. Mm-hmm. But I went really at the request of the family. Would you just go see him one more time? And boy, I come out of there. And I went down that hall. Leroy Wilson just got saved. Them nurses was throwing stuff. I mean, they had seen him decline and condescend health wise, and a nursing home bad enough as it is, but when you're lost and you don't have no hope, you don't have no heaven to look forward to, a nursing home's really bad.
Yeah.
But Leroy got saved, lit that whole room up. Hey, I gave him a Bible, and hallelujah. That was worth it all. Sometimes it's hard on the person in a nursing home, sometimes it's hard on you wanting to go visit the person,
yeah.
But it's worth it, so don't grow weary in that well-doing. But Bildad, like I said, he's not much comfort to Job. His words should have been better chosen. I'm trying to counsel a couple right now. I got to counsel with Brother Patrick and Sister Sarah, and it was a blessing.
Amen.
But this wasn't a blessing. You know, people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol makes it worse.
Yes, Lord.
And it's not an excuse to do what was done, but it was a product of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And best I can tell, they're going to end their relationship. And I've been trying to been trying to comfort them, been trying to counsel them, been trying to encourage them to go a little further. But what bothers me the most about it is one of them won't forgive the other one. She done said, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I admit I made a mistake."
Mm-hmm.
And he won't forgive her. That really bothers me.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Peter asked Jesus, "If my brother wronged me, how often should I forgive him? Yeah. Seven times in one day?" And Jesus said, "Not seven times, but 70 times, 490 times a day." You know, the Lord said, "If we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will he forgive us our trespasses."
Amen. That's
but
right.
As sad as this situation is, you know, words would have really helped. The words that were used were wrong. They were demeaning, insulting. But I'll tell you what, people make mistakes. And we got to learn that we're not perfect. And we're all just in the same basket. We're all just a bunch of hell-deserving sinners.
That's right.
But thanks to Jesus, you know, we can have a better life. We can have a blessed life. But one of the things that's important in life is learn how to forgive. People are going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And Bildad here, he's just beating Job. I mean, like driving a nail in a board. He is not.
Brother Eddie,
yeah.
You know, when I was out in the world, it probably wasn't anybody drank any more alcohol than I did. I love my beer. I drank it for breakfast.
Yeah, I did too.
When Karen fixed my breakfast, I drank beer with my breakfast.
I did too. I
yeah,
did.
And you know, and it wasn't, I never one time thought that beer would ever send me to hell. But it's what I did after I got drunk on it that sent me to hell.
Yeah.
That's when I sinned. After I got drunk on it. And
yeah. It don't have no place in the home.
No, it does not.
And it makes it really makes the home difficult.
That day and dumped all mine out. And
I did too, brother.
Yes, I haven't put any back in the house since. So.
In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I don't have any cans of beer in my refrigerator no more, like Brother Ed said, got it out, throwed it out.
Yes.
And it didn't need to be in my home to begin with.
No.
But it was in there, and it did cause the same kind of problems Brother Ed mentioned right there. But even though Bildad here, he's barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
He's saying things like, you know, the hypocrites, "Holt shall perish in the paths of all that forget God."
Yeah.
Job's not forgot God. He's been begging God to come and forgive him, God to come help him and heal him.
Right.
And he says, you know, just "whose hope shall be cut off, and those that trust shall be a spider's web." You know, just get caught up in it. But Bildad is just beating Job down right here.
You know, and, friends like that who need that, right?
There's a lot of hurting people out there.
I mean, Job is really in pain there. They're just beating him all to pieces, boy.
There's a lot of hurting people out there. One thing about the Lord, the Bible said he wouldn't break a bruised reed.
No.
And he wouldn't quench smoking flax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just work with what you got.
That's it.
That little smoking flax, get it going again.
That's
that
right.
Bruised reed. That bruised reed, you know, tape it up. Would to God we could do that.
Yeah.
But Bildad, he's just like the world. He's finding fault. He's found so much fault with Job.
Yeah.
He says, Now, let me say this about these last verses here that Bildad said about Job.
Yeah.
Really, it's kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18, he said, if he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee.
Yeah.
Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. It's almost like he's encouraging Job a little bit that there'll be a better day coming. Sounds like in verse 21,
yeah.
Talk about thy lips with rejoicing, thy mouth with laughing. You know, he may slip in a little bit of encouragement in those two verses there. And they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. But like I said, a lot of hurting people out there, it's good just to encourage someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll go to a grocery store, and somebody I don't even know, I say, boy, you're doing a good job over there. And boy, you can just see it cheers them up. And
yeah.
I'll see some woman pushing a little baby cart there, you know, and I'll go over and I'll say, you know, what do you take for them, 50 cents? She said, no, you can have them for free. I said, they don't carry them no more at Walmart. You know that, don't you? But just trying to encourage people. There's enough hurt out there is what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
We don't need to beat people down. Someone can't help. You know, some people can't help some of their circumstances. I've met people that had infirmities, and I just love them. I let them know I love them. I overdo it. I want them to know. I seen a little girl. She was a little bit retarded, and I wanted her to know I loved her. And I went out of my way to let her know I loved her. And she picked up on that boy, and she just kept looking at me and smiling. You know, it's good to be a blessing.
Yeah,
right. Try to lift people up. Try to encourage them. There's enough hurt out there. There's enough, problems without adding to them. Amen. But Bildad here, he thinks Job's a hypocrite. And Job answers Bildad in chapter 9, which we're going to stop right here at chapter 8. But he answers Bildad that he's a sinner and knows not how to be justified, but not a hypocrite. Job kind of fires one back. Amen. But you know, you can learn a lot from Job here. It don't make no sense. And life don't make no sense without Jesus. If you're trying to live a life without Jesus, you know, your situation is worse than Job ever could be. Because life don't make no sense without Jesus. And you know, when you come to know the Lord personally, I know Him personally.
That's right.
Let me give a for instance to that. If I asked you if you knew Donald Trump, and you said, yeah, I know him, I said, you know him personally. You say, well, no, I don't know him personally, but I know of him. Well, a lot of people have that kind of relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
They know of him, but they don't know him personally.
Right.
But when you do know him personally, he mentioned in John chapter 10 that he knows you personally, calls you by name.
That's right.
When I was coming here tonight, they played a song on the radio. And I have to admit, I couldn't help it. I'm driving down the road with both hands up in the air. Just had one of them moments.
Yeah.
Just good. Every now and then it's just good
to
have some fellowship with the Lord.
Yes,
and the world don't understand, and they can't understand it until they know Him personally. And I want to tell you how simple it is. If you want to know the Lord personally, go straight to Him. Don't go to Brother Eddie.
No.
Don't go to Brother Ed or Brother Patrick or Sister Sarah.
No.
Go straight to Jesus.
That's it.
Go to Him and kneel down.
Yes.
You can kneel down anywhere.
That's
He'll
right.
meet you anywhere.
Yes,
He'll meet you in the woods. He'll meet you in the barn.
Oh, yeah.
He'll meet you in the bedroom. I met Him in the bedroom. But just kneel down and say, dear Lord, somebody told me You love me. And I'm telling you that right now. He loves you. Then say, dear Lord, somebody told me that if I would ask You, You would forgive me of my sins and You would save my soul. Now, when you say that, you're calling upon One that's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. That's like I did 34 years ago. And after you say that, just say, Lord, I'm asking you right now, to the best of my ability, that you'd forgive me my sins
yes.
and save my soul yes. here today. And you can know, you know, I know the Lord personally as of April 27th, 1988, yes. when I called upon Him, the church of mercy, all that called upon Him. You don't have to know the Bible from A to Z.
Nope.
You don't have to know anything except the fact that you're lost. You need to be saved. There's no other Savior but Jesus. No other name given. No other way provided. And I'll tell you right now, He does not turn no one away.
Amen.
John chapter 6,
right.
verse 37. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn away.
Right.
And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, this is affirmative, shall be saved. It's not a hit and miss.
I
so I encourage you to get to know the Lord personally. Have a walk with God. Have a blessed life. He'll give you all of those things because He loves you. But Bildad's calling Job a hypocrite.
Yes, that's right.
Don't be a hypocrite.
No.
Be real. All right, we'll stop there tonight. Anybody got any comment on Job tonight before we have a dismissal prayer? Sarah's writing down all kinds of stuff over there.
Neighbor and her daughter.
We sure will.
She stopped me today on the way when I was leaving and said her mom was in the hospital and she was sitting outside.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
Wait, I guess.
She knew you was coming to church, though, didn't she?
No, she was
oh,
called,
she
was trying to get service on her cell phone.
Oh, okay.
So trying to call so that she needed help or something.
We will.
But she needs prayer.
Say her and her daughter.
I told her I'd pray for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well. We'll have prayer for her here in just a second. And I thank God for prayer. Boy, what a precious privilege. And we're glad to hear, you know, sometimes, I say this with charity as I can, sometimes the answer is no. God's got something better in mind. He wants to bring our loved ones home. And God knows much more about people than we'll ever know. And you can find what I said in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. And it says, the righteous perisheth, and no man considereth that they're taken away from the evil that's to come. God knows more about what's down the road than we do. And sometimes the best way to get someone from having to suffer like Job is here is to bring them on home.
Can you mention Roger Nahar too?
Roger Nahar, yeah. All right.
He's still in the hospital. So.
All right.
We'll just ask God to visit him there.
All right. Lord, we come to you on behalf of Roger Nahar. We come to you on behalf of Jill Davis. Come to you on behalf of Sister Vonnie's family. Lord, we come to you on behalf of Brother Mark and Sister Kay. Come to you on behalf of Sister Joanne Smith.
Yes.
Lord, Sister Brenda Goth.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for Sarah's neighbor, Lord. She said to remember her and her daughter.
Yes.
We want to do that, Lord. And we're thankful, Father, for the good report from Ronnie Lindsay and his wife. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for Billy.
Yes.
Lord, we just keep him in your prayers, Lord. We just pray you'll work all this out, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for those that are listening, Lord, to this service. Lord, I pray they'd run to you.
Yeah.
Lord, I spent 34 years running from you.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry, Lord. I was that stubborn. Lord, just not realizing, Lord, what I was missing out on. Didn't know that verse. It says in Psalms 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, I hadn't tasted, I didn't know. I have now and I do now. And Lord, I'm trying to tell people, boy, come and get some of this, it's good.
Yeah.
Lord, we love you tonight, we praise you tonight. Lord, thank you for these that are before us here tonight. Thank you for these that are listening by way of the live stream and by way of the recording. Lord, we thank you, Brother Bob Malcolm.
Yeah.
Lord, always listens in. And Lord, just a tremendous encouragement and blessing. Thank you for that card, Lord, from Sister Vonnie. Lord, I needed that. Thank you for Sister Vonnie.
Yeah.
Such tremendous ministry, Lord, that she does. We thank you for her and for that ministry. I pray, Lord, she'll continue to do the great work that she does in that category. Lord, thank you for Rita. Lord, that works with our young people, Lord, wanting to get a projector. Lord, I just got a blessing hearing about someone wanting to go further in the effort of helping our young people and prepare them for what's coming out there. Lord, we just got just a small time, Lord, before that comes to them, Lord, right now, Lord, their tender plaints right now, Lord, is when they need it the most.
Yeah.
And I pray you bless Rita, help her, Lord, to instill in their hearts, Lord, the great truths and treasures from the Word of God. Help our country, Lord. Help it, Lord, to get off its high horse. Help America, Lord, to do like it did when the twin tires failed. Lord, to get humble before God and seek the Lord and seek the mercy of God. Help this country, Lord, I pray. Lord, to get my back in step with God and not be ashamed, Lord, of you, Lord. Be willing to, Lord, let your name be mentioned in prayer. Be willing, Lord, to say, Lord, God, bless America. Be willing, Lord, to say one nation under God. Help this country.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Always do more than we ask. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.